Hey, I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Welcome to the news and why it matters. We have Mr. Jeff Fisher in the house today.
Thank you. Direct from intensive care.
Yay. Thank you for being here. Glenn, what is your top story?
Top story. I have an update on China that nobody else is going to give.
Did you say China?
China. that no one will give. That's really important for your personal income coming up in the next few months or year. But the fun we were all promised has arrived. And I'll tell you what that is.
Okay. All right. Stu.
I plan on doing the Congresswoman Omar and her anti-Semitic comments and her kind of comeback coming off the Women's March, where we saw Glenn just did this expose, if you just missed it, about the Women's March and the anti-Semitism. Though I wouldn't mind having some fun with your main topic as well.
Yes,
Glenn, I think that's, that might be the way to go.
Jeffy.
Well, as you know, there's a shutdown. And people are suffering. I read an article the other day where a lady said that her family was going to have to cut back on going out to a restaurant. So,
oh my gosh, it's that bad.
People are suffering.
It's that
people
bad.
People are suffering. Wow. But as you well know, Nancy Pelosi, a Speaker of the House, wrote a letter to President Trump saying he wasn't going to be welcome for the State of the Union. And people were upset that he hadn't responded yet. He has responded.
Oh, it's every bit of what you've dreamed.
It really is. This one is.
Before we get into that, I want to thank our sponsor, iTarget Pro. So over the weekend, I got a text from our friend. He was just here yesterday, Chad Prather, who just joined the Blaze TV. And he texted me and said, what is the name of that gun thing that you guys were talking about on the show? Because I keep talking about it. It sounds so cool. I have to have one. He was talking about iTarget Pro. So for all of you who are spending money on ammunition and range fees, you don't really have to do that. We're in 2019 now. And you can actually just use a laser. So Glenn, you explain this a little bit better than me. It's like it's a laser bullet. That's all that I know to say.
Yes, I think that's a technical way to put it.
It's also how Dr. Evil explains it.
Yes. It is actually a little device. Bullet. It's about the size of a bullet, and you actually chamber the round. And it just is when the hammer hits, it hits the laser and it fires that laser and it hits the target. The laser hits the target and records it on your cell phone or your iPad or whatever. So you're at home just cocking the gun and pulling the trigger and shooting across the room a laser. And it's not like a laser that you can kind of point and then fire. It's just boom, there it is. Boom, there it is. It's fantastic for trigger control. Fantastic way to work on your target practice without spending any money.
Yeah. Or if you just want to have a little friendly family competition in the living room of who has the best aim, you can do that as well. Go to itargetpro.com, get 10% off of your order plus free shipping right now with promo code NEWS. That is itargetpro.com. It pays for itself after a very short amount of time. All right, Glenn.
40 years in broadcast. 40 years in broadcast.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Every time there's an election, somebody or I will say, I'd like to see that happen just for the fun. Okay? I'd like to see that person elected just for the fun. Anytime you've ever heard anyone say, I'd love to see that happen just for the fun, it has arrived. And it is more fun than I ever dreamt possible. So Nancy Pelosi says to the president, as a punishment, you may not give the State of the Union. Now me, I'm dancing inside.
Good.
I got a frowny face because I'm like, oh no, Nancy, don't do that. That hurts too deeply. I love, and so do the American people, the whole pomp and ceremony of the State of the Union. So she says that. We outline a way for Trump just to mop up with that, okay? And then they're like, oh, people are hurting. People might have to go restaurants for a while, okay? There was a story in the Washington Post today about how, think of this, this is the greatest thing ever, how people who work for the federal government, they may not see this as a stable employer, and they might start looking for jobs elsewhere, and you might have a hard time hiring federal employees.
That's worse than restaurants.
Yeah, you're right. Please don't make that happen. Okay, so in response, the president has issued this to Nancy Pelosi. Now, Nancy, well, I'll give you this. To the Honorable Nancy Pelosi, dear Madam Speaker, and I think he meant that with all the respect that position deserves. Due to the shutdown, I am sorry to inform you that your trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed.
Oh, no.
We will reschedule this 7-day excursion when the shutdown is over. In light of the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay, I'm sure you would agree that postponing this public relations event is totally appropriate. I also feel that during this period, it would be better if you were in Washington negotiating with me and joining the strong border security movement to end the shutdown. Obviously, if you'd like to make this journey by flying commercial, that's certainly your prerogative.
Flying commercial into Afghanistan.
I look forward to seeing you soon, and even more forward to watching our open and dangerous southern border finally receive the attention, funding, and security it so desperately deserves. Donald Trump. Donald.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go.
Yes, you had me at Dear Madam Speaker. This is great. I think Donald Trump, with this shutdown, is turning a corner. For as bad of a December that he had, he is having a hellaciously great January. And it's because he listened to his voters. No president has had the balls to go, oh, you mean the federal workers, the ones who are costing all the taxpayer money? They're spending it all, and we're only getting about 40% of that money going to good stuff. You mean they're going to be not able to go to a restaurant from time to time? Oh, and nobody's had the guts to do that. He has the guts to do it. I wouldn't mess with him. I mean, if you were sitting there, it's the twitchy eye I've waited for. If you were negotiating against him and somebody said, don't worry, you can wait him out. I'm now looking across the table going, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
I hope that's true.
In fact, we're offering $5 billion now. He's the kind who go, yeah. I would have taken that a couple of days ago. It's now 10, right. You know?
Well, the Democrats already did that to him. It was 25, and now it's only 5.
Right. And it's not going to work out well for them.
I mean, it'll be interesting. First of all, I love this just because it's fun. You know, I mean, at this point, like, I don't know, these stories at times are just, you know, they make you want to hang yourself. And it's like, this is just like fun. I mean, like the fact that he's going back at her. And I think Nancy should come back and say, you know what? I'm going to really get him back and cut federal spending by 50%.
No, don't do that.
No. I shouldn't have given her that suggestion.
No, don't do that.
I hope she doesn't do that to get back at him, because then he wouldn't be able to do his.
No. Don't do that.
Do not.
Please, Nancy. That would be the worst ever.
It's like this point, you know, this trip that she's going to say is meaningful, that's going to cost us millions of dollars, that obviously she's going to get nothing out of because they never do. Good. I'm glad. I don't know. I guess because it's what, why can he restrict this? Why can he stop this?
He's the chief executive.
He restricted the travel, right? The government travel. He can't restrict the trip.
He's
set
the plane.
Right.
He's the chief executive. So think of this as the CEO of a company.
But he doesn't get to make,
he can say, you know what? Shutdown. We're not authorizing this. Yeah. We're not flying any. No, we're
I just didn't know that he would authorize her trips, but it's because she's on like a highly protected military plane.
Correct. Yeah. So he has to authorize the military to fly her and other government officials to break the shutdown to be able to go.
Right. And he's not doing that. It's interesting. I think like this makes him feel like a happy warrior, right? And I think that that is the mode that could break him out of this, right? Because,
Big time.
You know, if he comes off as like, you know what, I know I'm right on this principle, I'm sticking by it. You want to come and play these dumb little games? I'll play them right back with you, whatever. But the bottom line is this principle matters of the border being secured. I mean, right now the polling does not look great on any of this stuff for him. I mean, the emergency thing
really
didn't look good. The wall polling is very low. People are blaming him for the shutdown. I think this helps, right?
Like,
it definitely helps with his base. I think, you know, but you know, yeah. He's
but who the hell? Who tell me? Beside, unless you're outside, you know, you're the snow cone person or the hot snow cone person at, you know, Yellowstone, and so nobody's coming in for your hot snow cones as they're skiing around Yellowstone. I don't even know. I don't know. You know, who's really truly the troops? Got to take care of the troops. TSA, that's not good. Security stuff.
Yeah,
but other than that, who's really feeling the impact beside federal workers?
I mean, look, I would absolutely support a federal workforce that is 800,000 people smaller than the one we currently have. So the problem with this is, right, you're laying people off, and the 800,000 are obviously affected. However, they get their money back, right? Yes. The cab driver that drives these people around D.C. every day does not get a refund. Right. The people who have the restaurants where they go to lunch every day does not get a refund.
That's the hot snow cone guy.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, there are.
And those guys I feel bad for.
Yeah, that's legitimately an issue. And there are other big things. There's flood insurance that if a huge flood happens, like, what are we going to do? We're going to have to pass a law later to reimburse people because they can't renew the flood insurance.
If you are the hot snow cone person,
hot snow cone. What is this?
I don't Yellowstone
know.
Park.
I don't know what's happening at Yellowstone Park. It's probably closed for snow anyway. But, you know, if you are there on the edge of the park and you're not getting any people that want to go stand out and see buffalo in the wild when it's 2 outside, you know, you're a blanket salesman at the corner of Yellowstone and Park.
It only took about 3 minutes to get to a logical example. Good job. Good job.
Don't do this for a living.
The obvious.
All right, okay, we're getting somewhere. You're starting to go with the flow. Now I've kind of lost. Oh, if you're that person, You would start to say exactly what the Washington Post said. You know, the government isn't the most reliable partner here. It's maybe the government shouldn't be the one that I'm relying on for my security.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say another favorite part of the letter from President Trump to Nancy Pelosi is that people were waiting for him to respond and how would he respond. And this, according to reports, was like an hour or two before she was ready to go.
That's so amazing.
So she had her bags packed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And got the letter like, no, you know, ma'am, nope. We're not going. The plane's not leaving the tarmac, Nance.
Yeah, I love it. And this back and forth is very entertaining, but it really does highlight, like, big other issues. Like, for example, this trip, Nancy Pelosi shouldn't do this trip. It's dumb.
Right.
She shouldn't be going on a trip to these three countries right now, especially in the middle of a shutdown. But it was dumb anyway. She would get nothing done. It was pointless. We do this stuff all the time. We waste millions and millions of dollars every year with these little trips to raise profiles overseas and all that other nonsense. And in addition to that, the biggest thing, I think, is how dependent our country is on this. I think, look, as this goes on and on and on, it will become more problematic. More things will start falling through the cracks. And this is what the Democrats are waiting for, because something will happen.
No, if there's a terrorist attack or anything like that, we're in deep, deep trouble. You know, he will lose that PR battle.
You think so? I'm not so sure, because he keeps coming out and saying, I'm waiting for you to come to the table. I'm waiting for you to negotiate with me. And they're refusing to negotiate.
The average American isn't paying attention, and they see the clip where he says, yeah, you go ahead, blame it on me.
No, at first, I think that's where their heads went. Yeah, but the longer this goes on.
The Democrats have been positioned by every media for the average person. Democrats are positioned as the reasonable ones who just want some reasonable.
Just want a deal.
They want common sense border reform. I hate that.
We offered to open up the government and then talk the border, but he wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it.
They did. And I will say, forget about Donald Trump, who has obviously will just stick through this stuff and he doesn't care. I think this is the main part of the job he actually likes is this back and forth. He loves this stuff.
But this is what the American people,
and they love it.
The people that voted for him. That's what I heard. When I walked down the line of people who were voting, and I talked to Trump supporters, they said the same thing to me over and over again. Glenn, we've done it the other way. I want somebody who will burn the house down. Now, this isn't burning the house down. This is just saying, I'm not playing by your rules. I don't care. I'm not afraid of you. Right. That's what people want.
Sure is.
It's just a question of, is that something that over a long term has switched? Because right now, people are blaming him. They're saying they don't want his, you know, the emergency thing was minus 35 when they pulled it, which may be the reason why we haven't heard much about it in the last couple of days. You know, every part of this, every out for him looks rough. And so maybe the dynamics change after a couple of weeks.
I disagree. You had the right idea a week ago with Ted Cruz. That's his out.
I like that.
His out is, I mean, I would do, if she doesn't let him go to Congress, the Republicans should open up the doors. The Republicans should be seated. They should have a very different State of the Union. Not all that pomp and circumstance. He should walk down and go, guys, no clapping and all that stuff. Guys, we're here to do work. The other party has decided not to show up. That's shameful. Because here's the State of the Union. Problem, solution. Problem, solution. Problem, solution. We can get things done, but when they won't even come to the table because it's an election year, that's the problem.
Okay, so President Trump, whenever you're going back at the end of your day and watching the news and why it matters, you're welcome for the advice. Yeah. Back in a minute.
Make it yours.
Please.
Thank you.
We talk all the time about morals declining, right? And what we're allowing our kids to do and to watch and to see. And one of our sponsors, it is CosmoHurstKids.com. And so Victoria Hurst, who is actually a member of the Hurst family who owns Cosmopolitan Magazine, she has decided to take a stand against what they're doing right now, which is, Jeffy, correct me if I'm wrong, but right now, Cosmopolitan Magazine, with all of their risque pictures and articles
and all of
that. I
think the articles are horrible. The pictures are bad, but the articles
are really bad.
Horrible.
They talk about on the cover of the magazine
to
tease what's inside. So she wants Cosmopolitan Magazine to be required to be, material harmful to minor laws,
right.
That they should fall under that.
Right. So only adults purchase the magazine.
Right.
So not trying to get them to stop anything else other than selling to minors.
Yes. So she is, of course, an advocate of free speech. She doesn't want them to not exist. She just thinks that, hey, our kids maybe should not be looking at this kind of material. It's adult content. It should be labeled so. So if you want to hear more about this campaign, you can go to CosmoHurstKids.com. I recommend going there. We talk all the time about how we need to do something and stand up for the decline in society, and this would be a really great way to do it. CosmoHurstKids.com. Stu, I want to switch to your top story.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the TV show, Glenn's TV show today, there's an expose about the Women's March. That happens this weekend. Now, this is the thing that the first time it happened was
still
the day
happening
after Trump was inaugurated, right?
So
lots of people went. It was a big thing. And it was kind of like a grassroots sort of movement at the very, very beginning. But then it quickly turned into a bunch of activists who had this kind of this minor thing that was an issue in which they didn't seem to like Jews all that much, which is a little strange.
Or white people.
Yeah. I mean, real problems with race and anti-Semitism. In the movement, and that's developed more and more. And Glenn went through all that.
It's not a problem if you don't like white people.
But I will tell you this: it's not the movement. The movement, I think, and I don't agree with them. But the movement, when it was started on Facebook, I think was like the Tea Party. It was a grassroots thing that was hijacked by leadership that was wildly radical.
Yeah,
BLM kind of stuff.
Yeah, and worse, I think. I mean, and you went through all that on the TV show. But I want to point out that it's not just the Women's March movement. It's not just activists. We have people who are in Congress who have said things just as bad, if not worse, the people in the Women's March. Here is Ilhan Omar. She is a new congresswoman, and she's, I'm sure, delightful. if you were to meet up with her and have a cup of coffee or something. But here's what she also has tweeted. Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Here is her. This is just one of several congressmen women. We can go through some of them. There's been a few that have had similar, really problematic tweets about Israel in particular, doing all sorts of things, including like putting, you know, they go to their office and they've got a sticky note of Palestine over the country of Israel. Like, I mean, real things where, I mean, the anti-Semitism and anti-Israel behavior is pretty blatant. Here she is now trying to respond to a little criticism. I'm sure it's incredibly light from Christiane Amanpour about these comments.
Should Jewish Americans be worried about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib? Because of the BDS movement, because of one of the tweets you made a long time ago, you know, you're part of a new wave of Democrats not afraid to be critical of the government of Israel. And during the 2012 military offensive in Gaza, you tweeted, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. How do you put that into context now? And what do you say to American Jews?
So I remember when that was happening, watching TV and really feeling as if no other life was being impacted in this war. And that really, those unfortunate words were the only words I could think about expressing at that moment.
Right. Yeah, the only words you could think about expressing was that Israel was evil.
A long time ago.
Again, like, this is not a minority position in the Democratic Party. I think she's just expressed it. However, I mean, the other congresswoman she talked about, same type of thing. They're both involved with this BDS movement, which is blatantly anti-Semitic. Rashida Tlaib, or I can remember how she pronounced it. Christiane always has a different pronunciation than anything I've ever heard in America. So it's probably the right one. But she had an extensive relationship with the BDS movement. Had someone in their office who was praising Hezbollah and Hamas. These are recognized terrorist groups. This is a real thing in the Democratic Party. There's plenty of politicians who are over there, but these are the people who really believe these things. And I mean, if they get control of that party and they're getting closer and closer to it, they probably already have it. It's scary.
The question is when will Jeffrey Katzenberg, when will Steven Spielberg, when will the Jews of the Democratic Party say, you know, I'm in a hostile place. I met a year ago in Hollywood one of the biggest donors of the Democratic Party, and I wanted to talk to him because he's a big Jewish Israel supporter, and I wanted to talk to him about something, and I was surprised that he said yes. And I sat in his office and I said, why would you meet with me? Because your name is on buildings for the Democratic Party. Literally, they have named one of their main buildings after this guy because he's given so much money. And he said, because I'm done. He said, they have become so radical. When you have Keith Ellison in your upper ranks, and it's much worse than it was a year or two with Keith Ellison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so bad. He said, I cannot give them any more money. They are becoming a racist, anti-Semitic group. And it was shocking to hear. And I'm wondering when the Jewish organizations are going to say, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, because you could say, I obviously think Chuck Schumer is terrible, but Chuck Schumer is not anti-Israel,
no.
Right? And that's the thing that they're...
Or nor anti-Semitic. You can be anti-Israel and not anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's true. And this new group, though, seems to be going the wrong side of that border.
And, yes. And what a surprise, they're all socialists.
Shocking. All right, we got to take
Marxists.
A break. Back in a minute.
I mean, how long have we talked about that? Every time.
Those of you who have not already done so, which I don't know what you're waiting for, because we've got an awesome lineup at theblazetv.com. You have to go check it out. We've got, of course, Glenn.
Steven Crowder premiering tonight.
Today, yes.
Tonight. Great.
We've got Graham Allen. We've now, as you just heard yesterday, we've got Chad Prather. We've got all the big names under one roof. You can go to blazetv.com right now. Use promo code NEWS for $10 off of your annual subscription, and we will see you guys in overtime.
Up next, enjoy bonus overtime content from the News and Why It Matters, available exclusively for podcast listeners and Blaze TV subscribers. Not a subscriber? Start your free trial at blazetv.com.
Glenn, have you ever had a bad experience with a real estate agent?
Me?
Yeah.
Never. I've sold houses since I was 20, and I've always had the perfect person. Never.
Which was why you formed
Tanya and I had a
trust.
Right. Tanya and I had a really hard time selling our house, and we kept saying, what's happening? They're like, well, we're gonna have another open house and we'll blow up some balloons. And I'm like, that's your deal, you know? And Tanya was always making bread or cookies, so the house always smelled good, which was great. But she would come home and go, do you know the pressure of what it's like to keep this house immaculate the time for months? And she hated it. And I started working with Wall Street Journal has, you know, their top 100 real estate agents around the country. And I started working with that program years ago. And I've been meeting all these people. I figured out what the secret is on real estate. And it's really simple. So what we've done is we've put together realestateagentsitrust.com, which if you're trying to sell your house and you really actually want to either buy something or sell something quickly and get a good deal, what you need is great real estate agents. So we have over 1,000 real estate agents, and you write in and say, hey, this is where I am. Within an hour, somebody is back to you, and you can sign up with them and they'll sell your house, and it's for the right money, and they're good people.
They do it full time.
Yeah.
They don't just dabble in it. That's what a lot of people do.
These are the best of the best.
Yeah.
These are the best of the best.
So they've been vetted by Glenn's team. Let them work for you. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, Glenn, I know we mentioned Gina very briefly,
Gina.
But I want you to hit on that really quick.
Okay, this is just something that you're not going to hear anyplace else. And my economic researcher brought this to me this morning, and I study this kind of stuff, and I didn't even see this. Do your homework. Look this up. This is terrifying. So, you know, China is, you know, they're a big tiger, and they're just going to rip our throats out, and don't mess with them. Are they? They are having such financial difficulties that in the last 4 days, they have done a bailout of their own. Wow. Now, remember when we did TARP? It was what? What was TARP? Was that the seven? No, that was stimulus. Was 787?
700 billion for TARP, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then 787 was the stimulus, which was actually more than that at the end.
Right. Yeah. So it's about $1 trillion, and then we had to have the Fed just pump money, print money, and we were doing about $80 billion a month.
Right.
Okay? $80 billion.
And that's the quantitative easing.
Quantitative easing.
Right.
And that was never done before, and we're going to pay a heavy price for it. That was us. China has done two things, and it was just released yesterday. And this is what they're telling us. They don't have any reason to tell us the truth. Their banks and everything else controlled by the communist government. This is what they've told the world, that the Bank of China, which is like their central bank, has tried to help the Chinese people because they haven't been able to afford to pay their taxes. And so they wanted to get money into the banks, and the banks loan that out to people so they could do things and pay their taxes. So it's nuts, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So in the last 4 days, they have printed and pumped $50 trillion into their economy. $50 trillion. $53 trillion is the entire sum of every piece of money in the world. Okay? Let's say it's like $53 trillion. In 4 days, they pumped that into their banks. Now, what they said was, we're buying assets. No, you're buying companies owned by the Communist Party that are going out of business. You're buying ghost cities from people who took a loan out and couldn't afford it and are defaulting. You got nothing. This is what they tell us in about page 20. You go into the page like 60, 63, something like that.
64.
64.
I remember this interview this morning because I was like, they buried it on page 64. 64.
This isn't the first time they've done it. They owe themselves. They have printed over $100 trillion. There's nothing to that economy. It is running on vapors, on absolute vapors. And if China crashes, oh my gosh, and the world is in deep, deep trouble.
I would like to add, before we move on, this is just what they're making publicly available. So imagine what's
not publicly available, or how they're skewing it. Right. They came out at Christmas, and I can't remember the numbers, so I'm talking off the top of my head, and I apologize for anybody who actually watches these numbers. But I think they came out and they said their GDP, their growth was like 5.6.
Yeah,
5%. Okay. They fall apart under 8%. If they don't have 8% growth, they're done. Okay. They came out and they said it's 5%. Well, we think they've been cooking their books on that. We can't make heads or tails of that. The math doesn't work out. They haven't had 8%, and we don't think they have 5%, but we don't really know. If they came out after years of lying and saying, no, we had 10%, we had 9%, we had 8.5%, when they didn't, if they come out and they say they have 5% growth, what do they really have? What's really going on in China?
All right, you're talking about China. I want to take it back to the United States and America.
Yeah.
And what is more American than the people of Walmart?
Nothing.
Amen.
Right? I think Walmart is the adult Disneyland. You can go there and you can see fairy tales come true. You can see monsters. You can see, you know,
sometimes in the same aisle.
Yeah, figments of people's imagination. I look good in this outfit. You can see anything at Walmart. I love it.
So there was a woman who unfortunately was
just riding one of the rides.
Thank
all
you.
She was doing.
Thank you.
It was one of their carts, right?
Yeah, electric cart. She was riding it around. So she was going to Disneyland, adult Disneyland. She was riding one of the rides.
Yeah.
You don't have to be special to ride one of the carts. Yeah. They're there for you
She had a Pringles can open.
Right. So you have a problem with eating, or you have a problem with what she had in the Pringles can?
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with what she had in the Pringles can.
Right. She was drinking, look, to each his own. I've had box wine before. She has Pringles can wine.
I have to know, though, do you guys know, did she bring it in the Pringles can to like disguise it, or did she grab the wine off the shelf and grab the Pringles off the shelf and somehow
do one into the other, basically?
Yeah.
It's only wine and cheese. Who doesn't like wine and cheese? What hoity-toity person doesn't go to a wine and cheese party? This is just a Walmart parking lot wine and cheese party. That's all that was.
No, I do want to know the flavor.
Pringles is cheaper than the wine, so she might have poured the bottle into the
Pringles. I do want to know the flavor too. And then it's like, why would you think that it wouldn't be conspicuous for you to be bringing the Pringles can up to
Walmart? Have you ever been to Walmart?
Your Pringles.
That's how I eat my Pringles at Walmart,
too.
Thank you. Yeah, I do.
I'll just like dump it down my throat.
They stack them in there perfectly for that.
So what happened to her? Did she get arrested? She didn't get arrested,
She's in Texas. She's in Texas. They just said, look, there's nothing wrong with what you were doing. You shouldn't be drinking and driving, but you were going about 1.5 miles an hour.
That's the cart's fault, though. You got to charge the battery.
Right. The Walmart said, we don't want to press charges or anything. And I don't think there's a law to a restaurant except for maybe drinking and driving, which I don't know if you could get away with.
Inside a building like that, maybe.
She was in the parking lot for 3 hours, just driving around the parking lot, drinking wine out of her Pringles.
I have no problem with this woman.
That's amazing.
They called police. They said, you got to stop her. So the police came. By the time they came, she was gone, but they found her in a restaurant, having a meal and, you know, drinking wine from the Pringles can. And they just said, hey, we just want you to know, we can't press charges, but I wouldn't go back to that Walmart. They I mean, when you're kicked out of Walmart,
they're not going to let her back in.
Yeah, that's like being called uncouth at a tattoo parlor, isn't it? I mean, you're just like,
I didn't say in the story whether they actually issued her a trespass warrant or not. She might be able to go back. I don't want to talk about, you know, specific laws, but they didn't issue her an actual trespass warrant. She goes back.
I love Walmart. I love shopping at Walmart. I just don't shop
at Walmart.
I do.
Do you really?
I do. Yes.
Wow.
I can't go there.
Really?
I go to Target.
Target's good too.
I prefer Target, but I'll go to Walmart because Walmart has the extra added fun of you never know what you're going to see.
I think that's true. The thing about Walmart too is that, you know, because it is, you know, you can get your laughs and you can say like, sometimes there's some interesting people there.
Walmart.com.
Yeah, right. There's plenty of that. However, it's also a freaking miracle.
Thank you.
Like, you walk into this place and literally everything you could ever need in your entire life is in there. Yeah. It costs nothing. Yeah. And all these thousands of people all across
that's
the globe.
It's all made in China.
Yes,
so.
Thank God.
China.
God for it. Unpatriotic of you.
Thank God for it.
I will tell you, when we go up to the ranch in Idaho, Walmart is like New York City.
Yeah.
And so we go there all the time. And I think that every time I walk into the Walmart, I see those big, huge screen televisions.
For like $400 for a 60-inch TV.
Yeah, and they're on sale today for $36. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
It is.
And I'm going to pick up groceries for the week. And you know what? I need something for the car. I need some clothes for the kids. Yeah. And I need to pick up my medicine, too.
Right.
Love it.
And it's not like, you know, I grew up with like the 88-cent store. I mean, I grew up in a poor family. When you would go as a poor family, you got clothes that did not look cool at all. You were like, you'd walk into a room and everybody would be like,
especially when you had to shop at the Husky section.
Yeah, right. You go to Walmart and it's some good stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
Target too.
I have some shirts from Walmart.
Yeah,
I love Target clothes. All right, before we go,
is this a Target clothes?
Yeah,
because it does not look like it.
I think it might be actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
But there's
it might
no
be.
Chance it's a Walmart.
No.
Is this what you wore to the wedding that was fraudulent?
No, it wasn't fraudulent. I'm married in the Dominican.
Yeah.
It wasn't fraudulent.
Oh, that's good.
Every time you visit the Dominican, then all the rules apply in the marriage.
So we come home and we date.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we go back to the Dominican and we're married again.
Oh, right, okay.
Nice.
So I assume you're wearing this because of...
Yes.
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 We have a date.
Oh, nice.
She's not married.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I am.
We're not in the Dominican.
So we have to go to Canada. Because she's not married and I'm not married in Canada. No. So I told her I signed your marriage license. Mm-hmm. And I told her and Stephen I just wouldn't feel right if I didn't at least just...
Actually go through the motions.
Just say the words, you know, and do it here in the United States.
It does count if you even actually say the words?
I mean, in every bowling alley that I've ever married anybody in, it counts.
Okay. Wow. I'm not questioning you. I was asking.
No.
So we're going to have a little...
I'm a reverend doctor. What was the third one?
It was Reverend Dr.
Corporal?
Glenn Beck.
Colonel.
I'm a Reverend
Dr. Colonel Glenn Beck. Reverend Doctor will be officiating our mini ceremony.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
The production.
Also, can we get a heart attack update from Jeffy? Like, are you alive?
Quick, and then I'm going to give everyone else one before we go.
I mean, I'm fine. I'm doing fine.
You're sweating.
Lost a little weight. This room is on
fire. He's actually sweating less than
normal.
Yeah.
This room is really hot today for some reason. The air conditioning is not working, and I am not happy about it.
Because I think it may be because we have people on the roof.
I know.
And it's 3 months to put a new roof on this place.
I'm excited about that. It's actually warm in here.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Do you know
how
many employees I could hire on just the cost of this roof? This roof, they gave you the bill and they're like, you need a new roof. And I'm like, oh, okay. What's that cost? And they told me, I'm like... what? That's like a mansion.
Yeah,
I could buy a house on a golf course in Bethesda, Maryland for that.
Well, I, for one, appreciate the temperature being a little bit warmer. Okay, before we go, I have to show you guys this. PETA released a new ad. They tweeted this out and they said, traditional masculinity is dead. So, you know, increase your veggies. And of course, they put quotes around traditional. I'm still not sure what point they were trying to prove here other than the one at the end of the ad, but I'm just going to go ahead and let you guys watch a little bit of it.
It's not masculinity. That's creepy. Oh my God.
Get it. I want it. I take it. I got it.
Look, PETA, okay.
Right,
I got it.
So then at the end, it says you can increase your sexual stamina by eating vegetables. Why? Traditional masculinity is dead. What was that? That was a whole lot of offensive behavior.
That's boorish. That's disgusting.
More than anything, it's an attempt to get on shows like
this,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, they're just trying to get on
shows.
PETA does this all the time. I don't like anything they stand for. I don't like the way they make their points, that included. But it
seems like they're alienating their base, though.
Oh, I don't know. If
how do you alienate somebody who has been a supporter of PETA?
Right.
I mean,
I can't give you a legitimate example. Like, I actually do agree with a lot of things they stand
right.
for. However, they're so crazy, and like I don't know what they're attempting to do. It seems like they just want attention for PETA. They don't actually care about these causes at all.
I disagree.
I don't know. Maybe they do, because they were. I will say they have been one of the very few who've come out and criticized Democrats for not. For example, Al Gore famously, they called him out. And were like, hey, you're not. You say you care about the environment. Like, the reports you're citing say that the meat industry is the worst thing in the world for global warming, and yet you're eating meat.
That's why I appreciate
them credibility.
I think they are credible. I don't think they care. Mass toxic masculinity. They're just using that to make a point on. Eat vegetables and not meat.
Yeah, it's just,
you know what I mean?
They're just trying to be funny and get attention.
It's not even funny.
No, but
it's just disturbing.
It is.
Shocking, and it gets people to retweet it, and then a bunch of other people to say, this is shocking. I can't believe they did this. And it gives them, I mean, they probably spent what? You know, $5,000, and they could have spent a normal ad and got three spins out of it on TV. This, they're going to get all over the place, and it's a typical attention grabbing campaign. But I mean, I don't know that this helps overall.
Has PETA done anything that has made you change the way you live?
No.
Ever? I mean, I have not.
And that's sad because I am with you, Stu. I agree with a lot of what PETA says that they stand for. I agree with ethical treatment of, you know, animals.
Everybody does.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to find it.
I mean, look, that's
a longer conversation.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, like, the bottom line is, like, they don't want people eating meat at all.
Right.
And they also don't, if I'm not mistaken, they also don't think that you should own a dog because you can't.
Right, like, they go
and they
so
also
far.
Think that they also, I got into a Twitter war with them over the killing of rats, cities being infested with rats. Rats need a life, too. No, Peter, no, they don't. They're rats. They need to die.
My son had two
pet rats. I just want to.
No.
We did not get them from the streets, though.
No.
Bought them from a rat breeder.
I don't think the New York's rats
are helping myself. Rat breeder?
How do you find a rat breeder?
She's got taken by a homeless guy
on the Walmart parking lot with a sign.
Some homeless guy on the side of the road is just like, oh, yeah, let's put up an ad for dumb people in Texas to buy rats from our rat breeder.
Holding them by the tails. I got rats! Who wants a rat? Two for one right now. Special.
Okay, so yesterday's poll, are you concerned about the length of this government shutdown? 76% of you said not at all. 16% said slightly. 7% said very. 1% of you are just still unsure how you feel.
I think I'm slightly,
just
slightly concerned, only because of the military, and I want to make sure.
And there's not an end in sight.
Yeah.
One of the stories
as long as we're, I don't care if there's an end in sight. Not at all on all of
the military.
Other crap, but the. Excuse me, the military and anything that is for our national security.
No one should be forced to go to work without being paid. Like, it's one thing to be sent home and letting people stay home. The idea that you can force people, like the TSA agents, to go in and have to work at the airport without getting paid is absolutely wrong. It should not be not be legal. It should not be able to happen.
Listen, airlines are, I'm pretty sure, are prepared. Mm-hmm. You know, to come in with their own security if they have to. It's their business. It's their plan, you know. So, I mean, we have the Super Bowl coming in Atlanta. And where's all the news coming from, all the problems at the airport? Atlanta.
Oh, that's the
so
one.
So that'll be fun.
That's the only thing I actually care about with the shutdown is I better be able to get my free.
That's what I'm saying. So the airlines are going to have to provide that, right?
I will tell you that if Ronald Reagan could say to the air traffic controllers, you can't strike. You cannot strike. Sorry. I'll fire every single one of you if you go on strike. They do. He fires. He replaces them. We move on. If they can't strike because they're essential, then that is essential, which means we shouldn't be able to cut off their salary.
Yeah, we should be paying them.
Yeah. All right, today's poll question: do you think President Trump's travel ban on Speaker Pelosi in light of the government shutdown is fair?
Yes.
Let us know at the Blaze's Twitter. Yeah. That is at the Blaze. No, of course it is.
If they took out the essential employees, you'd never reopen the government.
Well, that's the problem, right?
Right. I mean, look, you have companies. To have those.
One of the stories I had that we didn't get to was Kraft opening up, giving free food away this weekend, their products to people who are being affected by the shutdown. There are actual people who are being affected.
Where
by the
are the banks? So,
but the,
where
are the banks? I believe they're there. Well, I believe they are.
Yes, but I heard someone mention this, and I'd love to get your take. He said, I get it that you can go and get a loan, but what about people with really bad credit? Will the banks still work with them?
Yeah, if you're a government worker, you are a federal credit union.
If you are, you know, you just have to sign a piece of paper that says, you know, you come up with a new loan doc. I am going to be paid this amount of money. And so when I get paid, you know, I will turn my check over for this amount.
And you can do that even with bad credit.
We should
be able to.
I mean, it's probably the best guarantee of a loan being repaid as you can possibly imagine.
Right.
So I think most banks would do it. But I mean, the other thing, too, is like just there are a lot of people in the government making $100,000 a year and they're probably doing fine. But just like any other business, there's a lot of people who are paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely.
And have no savings 100%. And have kids in school and they don't know what to do.
No, it's
and
not good.
It is legitimately affecting people. The fact that the government is oversized doesn't change that. The fact that those jobs should be privatized and should have been a long time ago if they need to be happening at all doesn't mean you should walk into work one day and realize, oh, crap, my job has been canceled. And right. I may come back in 2 months or it may come back next week. I mean, this is really putting people in a difficult position. But again, it's not Donald Trump's fault solely. Like this is supposed to be a negotiation. And right now, the Democrats aren't showing up for it.
And that's what I think is why we're making the Democrats being more concerned, because if companies like Kraft and the airlines are coming, you know, getting their own security ready and Kraft is helping people, that's not the government. That's the American businesses helping people.
You're not
people.
Hearing any problems in San Francisco or Seattle with TSA. They don't have it.
They have the privatized.
They're private. Yeah. As it should have been in the first place.
Yes.
All right. We got to go get married in America. I got to go get married in America.
We'll see. Living in sin here in America.
Oh wow.
Till I make it official. Make it official.
Oh. What did I get myself?
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.